This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey Robert, who solos who, Edward or Damon?
Well, obviously Damon.
I don't know. Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. Today I am joined by my good friend Robert. Hey Robert.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. Would you like to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, well, my name is Robert, as you as have been really? Well introduced. I'm a student, I study English and theatre. I'm from Dunedin, born and raised, and I'm a fan of vampires and Vampire Diaries.
That is actually literally perfect that you're a fan of vampires, because if anyone's listened to Thoughts and Theories for a while now, you'd know that I've done probably five episodes just dedicated to Twilight. So it's good to have another vampire head here, so that I can, get into it again.
Great. No, I look forward to it.
Did you ever watch Twilight growing up, or was it more Vampire Diaries? Or
yeah, I did watch the Twilight films. I will admit they didn't really connect with me. I mean, maybe I wasn't the target audience, but
perhaps. How old were you when it came out? In 2005, was it? Or yeah, 2005.
Oh, 2005.
Yeah,
is it that long ago?
Yeah.
Gosh, I would have been around 7 or 8, and Vampire Diaries, I think it came to New Zealand in around 2009, so I was 11 or 12.
Right, so you watched Vampire Diaries when it went on air.
Yes, I was,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
I was there at its inception.
I was just born when Twilight came out, so we have an oldie on here now.
all right.
Sorry, I'm kidding, I just had to. It's been too long. But I started getting into Twilight when I was I'm not sure, it was around 2015, 2016. I think I was 9 or 10. I was really probably too young to be to be watching something like Breaking Dawn. That was not good. But hey, it's shaped who I am today.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really know anything about Vampire Diaries, because I think I got into Pretty Little Liars for a little bit. And then I just, by the time I grew up a little bit more, I sort of grew out of that phase. By growing up, I mean I went through that temporary phase where I'm I don't like anything girly. So it's I don't like vampires. I don't like romance. I don't like the color pink. as my wee rebelliousness.
It's not just a phase, Mom.
You'd think Twilight would be the phase, but no, not liking it was the phase.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So you said you didn't really connect to Twilight very much. So I'm assuming when Vampire Diaries came out, you were more connected to that.
That was interesting, because I remember when the first episode was aired on TV, and it had the exact same setup as Twilight, which I kind of rolled my eyes at. And it was the fact that someone new and mysterious came to their high school. And, the main character's oh, who's this? He's so mysterious. And they had the same dynamic. But I think after the end of the episode, it changed my mind. It took a very different turn to Twilight.
Right.
Okay. But, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Because, like I said, I don't really know anything about Vampire Diaries. The only thing, prior to this, that I knew was there's a girl named Elena.
Yes,
there's a love triangle. Mm-hmm. Between two brothers or stepbrothers or some sort, I'm not sure.
Oh, they're brothers.
They're brothers. Okay.
Blood brothers.
You sound so disappointed when you say that, and I feel there's some lore that I don't know.
There is drama.
Of course.
But, I mean, yeah, it's kind of this similar setup. There's a love triangle, but yeah, the two brothers are trying to get Elena.
Right, right. And I thought his name was Damien, not Damon.
It's Damon. I should get it right. My gosh.
And there's a girl who can apparently turn off emotions at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about the vampires in this world is that they apparently have this, like, emotion switch. So they can sort of switch their emotions off when they want to.
Mm.
But they can choose to turn it back on as well. It's kind of complicated, and that's a thing that gets explored a lot.
Right, right.
Well,
because this one's different from Twilight because it's a TV show, right? So how many seasons were there?
Oh, gosh. It went on for a while. I think there's...
almost like a decade, right?
There's like 9 or so seasons.
Yeah, it could be more than a decade then.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And there was... how many films of Twilight were there?
I believe there were 5 books. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a different setup. But yeah.
Wow. I suppose Vampire Diaries became really popular because, well, obviously in itself it's a very interesting premise, but because after Twilight they're left like a huge craze for like these vampires and this world that's been created, and there were so many possibilities out there to explore, and Vampire Diaries was one of the things that sort of like filled in that pit. And so I think that accounts for one of the reasons why it was so successful, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, as much as, I mean, I don't hate Twilight, but I appreciate it for the fact that it did create all these other things as well, like Vampire Diaries and True Blood is another TV show, which I really like.
Right, that came out in 2008, right? I don't really watch that one, no.
It's very, it's a very gruesome and graphic show, but it's really good as well. But
so yeah. That's also a TV show.
It's also a TV show.
Right, right.
Also kind of a love triangle surprise as well.
Oh, God. I think there's like an oversaturation of love triangles in the
media. It's kind of an overdone trope at this point. But oh, well.
It's kind of like if I were to ever read a book, it's come to the point today that if I were to read a book or watch a series or something, if there's a love triangle involved, I just drop it. Like,
right.
I DNR it. Like, it's that I despise it that much. But luckily for Twilight, I was a kid at the time, so I didn't have opinions set yet.
You were new to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a Team Edward or a Team Jacob fan?
Oh, God.
Or are you just undecided?
I am a Team Bella fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think she shouldn't have ended up with anyone.
No.
Because they were both bad for her, I think. Like, there was a point where I was a Team Jacob fan because he, compared to Edward, was like a lot more respectful and appropriate when it comes to, you know, the dating scene, because Jacob was only a few years younger than Bella, like 1 or 2 years, right?
Oh, okay.
Whereas Edward is like 100 or something years old, even if he is trapped in the body
like
of a 17-year-old.
Dating a 17-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like...
it's the same problem with the Vampire Diaries. Like, yeah, they're 160-odd years old, but that...
yeah, it's just like, okay.
Slightly problematic.
Slightly, just a little bit. I think, you know what I would eat up right now? If there was like a series of with some sort of immortal, whether that's a vampire or like something else, a warlock or whatever, and the love interest was like a 40-year-old or like a 30-year-old, but like the immortal looks younger, you know what I mean? But still an adult, not teenage young, but like the immortal looks like he's... like 30, and then the woman's like 40 or something like that, or the other way around. And I'm like, that's something I would eat up because it's unconventional and it's new.
It would be nice, a fresh difference.
Because
I guess a lot of these vampires, they are frozen in their 17-year-old bodies or
that
whatever.
That is true. That is
but,
true.
I mean, they have been alive for centuries, so it does make it a bit
It's a little bit
strange.
Contradicting because here's the question, right?
Mm.
So... what brings, like, maturity? Is it like, how, like, your consciousness or your experience? Because usually when it comes to us, normal humans, it comes, you know, at the same time, right? We are born and we develop new experiences. And we therefore develop, like, you know, emotional responses to situations and things like that. But when it comes to, like, vampires... like you said before, when they are turned, their brain, their body sort of freezes
yeah.
in that time frame. So they can never learn anything new. They can never emotionally develop further than they are. So Edward, 17-year-old, does act like an angsty 17-year-old from the 1800s or whatever, wherever he's from. But he's still lived a long time. He's got a medical degree. He's gone to high school multiple times. So it's like, does that mean he truly is still a 17-year-old?
It's kind of a paradox.
In a way,
it's like, but that's the thing that I, because I love the Vampire Diaries, but there's also lots of things I really hate about that show.
Right, tell me about it.
Well, I don't like. Oh gosh, you're going to set me on a whole tangent. But
hey, that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
Thoughts and theories, baby.
I don't like how they displayed some vampires, because some vampires are supposed to be roughly 1,000 years old, and they still seem incredibly childish. And that's, I guess that could be explained, but the thing about the Vampire Diaries is that they all come from this original family, and they're supposed to be 1,000 years old, and they just act very, very childish, and I don't like it. And there's only like one character that I believe. His name's Elijah, and he acts like extremely mature and everything. But yeah, I don't know. Do you think vampires in Twilight, they act their age, or do they kind of act
I don't know, because it's like, we don't really see much outside of the Cullen family except for like later on in Breaking Dawn and things like that, which was such a beautiful way of like exploring the world of vampires to see how much cooler other people's powers are. I would say, I think I definitely believe Edward is 17. Mm-hmm. Like I know he's like hundreds of years old, but he definitely doesn't act like it.
Yeah.
But like the thing is, in the films, everyone looks older than they are.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Carlisle, who's the father of like these seven foster kids or something, he's only supposed to be 23 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like 23
that,
or
that
something.
That blonde guy.
Yeah, the blonde guy. The blonde doctor.
I remember that. I remember that.
And he looks so much older in the films because it would make more sense. But in the books, like, they're all like roughly, they look pretty much exactly the same. So it's like, it's so unbelievable that they could be, that they're not caught as this weird cult or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one thing I do believe is, do you remember the Volturi?
That they're like part of the, whatchamacallit, the what's it called, the Catholic Vatican City? They're kind of...
The Volterra?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, they're the... the vampire government, I would say.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Like dictators or something.
Yeah.
They are like thousands of years old. And I do believe it. Maybe because we don't see them very much, but they've got so much aura around them. The way that they're like introduced, like there's in the city, there's this whole like celebration about the eradication of vampires, when in fact that city is the very headquarters for vampires. So there's like a little inside joke for them, like their own little amusement. There's three people: Marcus, Aro, and Caius. Aro is the main guy, and he acts really childish, but in a like crazy, I could kill you at any moment kind of way.
Yeah.
So the fact that that juxtaposition, I think, works really well, because we never really know how old he is, but he's definitely like older than Carlisle, which we know was alive since the Witchburgs or like before. Oh, I don't even know.
I can tell you're a really big fan of the Twilight series.
Oh, God. Marcus, he's actually dead, and he's a literal statue, and he's going through petrification. Because
as you do.
As you do, yeah. So I don't know if you know, but like in the Twilight universe, if you, as a vampire, the older you get and the more you don't move, the more you turn into a statue.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. No, it's – the older you get in the Vampire Diaries, the more stronger the vampire.
Really?
But vampires can be like petrified or like in a state of limbo, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I was going to say that's a thing I actually like about Twilight vampires better than the Vampire Diaries vampires, is that the Vampire Diaries vampires, they appear too human to me. Like, They don't have the pale skin. They don't have, like, they just act very human, whereas in the Twilight, well, from what I've seen in the films, they're, like, very pale, and they're very different to a living, breathing human, whereas Vampire Diaries, they do have teeth and scary eyes and everything, but they just... Everything else about them, they're very, like, they breathe normally.
So they need oxygen.
They need, well, it seems like it. And if you've seen True Blood, a really cool detail of that is that they don't breathe at all.
Right.
And all, I think all the actors, they train to, like, try not to breathe as much as possible. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And they can also, in the Vampire Diaries, they have, like, these daylight rings, which means that they can walk in the sun.
Oh, so this one's more traditional, where if they don't wear those rings, they burn or they die?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's I guess you could say it's kind of a cop out to say that I've just got a magic ring.
Right.
I can walk in the sun.
Does it explain where that ring comes from? Is it like a witch or a druid or something?
Yeah, it's made by a witch. Witches, they kind of fix all the problems in this universe. Because there's no witches in Twilight. Is there?
No, but I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a theory of my own, but yeah. So you're saying the witches in Vampire Diaries are more like the invisible writer's hands to fix any plot holes?
Oh, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Like, I love the Vampire Diaries, but it gets quite ridiculous because so many characters die. But then the witches, they always inevitably bring these characters back to life. It becomes a very tired trope
in
the end, because you've seen the same character die like 7 times. And it means like when a character is in mortal danger, you don't actually feel like they are in mortal danger, because you know, oh, Bonnie, who's the witch, she's just going to bring Jeremy back to life.
And that's an, like, OP witch. Like, surely necromancy has, like,
yeah, I mean,
a huge
it does
cost.
It does have consequences on her, and she does kind of die at one point, and she gets, like, the consequence of being the conduit to the afterlife. So like all the souls have to pass through her, and that.
Oh, so she becomes like a grim reaper of sorts,
kind of like that. But other than that, she's still alive. And yeah, it's a weird...
Yeah. It's like there's no gravitas to a scene anymore because there's no stakes. Yeah. And if there's no stakes, then we as the audience are not, like, interested anymore.
Stakes, yeah. So that's script writing.
I was going to say, class. That's what we learned in class.
We could write a better vampire show, surely.
Surely. Like, our...
Stakes and stakes to the heart. Sorry.
Stop right now.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Your age is showing.
Okay, sorry.
I'm kidding.
It's been a while since I've seen the Twilight films, but I think, and I don't want to mock the Twilight films because, again, I don't know enough about them, but there are some points where things are played quite safely. Like, I don't know if are we allowed to spoil what happens?
Oh, yeah.
And everything?
Yeah, okay. My whole show is based on spoilers. Okay. Like, I explain everything.
Because it's been a while since I saw one of the last films, but they had this huge battle at the end, and, like, what was his name? Carlisle? They're like, holding his head up at
yeah,
the end.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? That was all, like, a vision. That was all a dream. And so none of it happened. And, like, I remember, I think I saw it in the theaters?
Oh, lucky.
Or some,
lucky.
I can't remember, but I just felt kind of cheated, like, as an audience. I was like, oh, okay, so we're just...
Yeah, no, I totally understand that, and I agree. Like, while on some part of me felt relief that my favorite characters are alive, I think a bigger part of me was just like, so what was all this drama for? Because this was the last movie where... They're building up all these allies, you know, and, like, going against this, like, bad vampire government and things like that. And it just comes to nothing. It's kind of pathetic. I do agree. Like, and I think Stephanie Meyer
Thank you for agreeing.
No, of course. No, actually, for real. Like, because I'm such a huge fan.
Finally, someone listens. No.
Because I'm a huge fan of this world, I think it's a bigger disappointment when you see such potential wasted, right? Because these two movies, the Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2, they paint, they introduce the Volturi a little bit more, and they paint the Volturi in a very bad light. So it sets us up to seeing them as a big bad villain. And usually at the end of that, you either defeat the villain or the villain defeats you. But there was just no
answer. What actually happens?
Do
they just kind of go to like a peace deal or something?
It's not even a peace deal. They just walk away. Like literally, it's just like, I'll be keeping an eye on your child and things like that.
Renesmee.
Yeah, Ragnatok, Roblox.
Well, doesn't Jacob have like a weird
yes,
love bond?
Yeah, that's actually
child?
One thing I wanted to talk about as well. It's
hooray!
It's actually horrendous how Stephenie Meyer like
how you weren't
did this.
Team Jacob after that, right? You were just like,
okay. I stopped being team Jacob after he forced a kiss on Bella.
Right.
Yeah, and I was just
fair
like,
enough.
You were so good. Like you had no competition. Edward was sneaking into her room, you know, and stalking her and stuff like that.
Not a big bar to
yeah, sit, exactly. Yeah. Like, and he's just a normal teenage boy and was there for her when she was heartbroken. Like, he was great. And then he forced a kiss on her, and I was just like, you just eliminated any goodwill.
You had it good, Jacob.
Yeah, you had it good.
Gosh.
And Stephanie's
his shirt was off the whole time. You know.
Okay, I'm not mad about that, though.
Yeah.
Really pandering to the female gaze.
Yeah, right.
But... So the whole thing with do you know much about like the whole soulmate bond with the
I think he's a werewolf, right? And they create like a little bond or something, and they don't have control over it. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's his, I guess it's his excuse. Like it wasn't his fault, but it's also it feels very. The way it's written, it feels very deliberate by – who's the writer again? Is it
Stephanie Meyer.
Stephanie. It feels very deliberate, you know. It doesn't feel like that's just like a cool little twist or something.
Yeah.
It just feels like, oh, that sounds like a very – I won't say convenient, but it's
– No, I think
you know
convenient
what I mean?
Is the right word.
Yeah.
Because what I think is – I
it's
don't
like,
think
well,
Stephanie
course,
Meyer.
Of course, Belle's not going to fall
yeah,
for Jacob.
Exactly.
Now.
Like I think she wrote herself into a corner.
Yeah.
When she wrote Twilight, I don't think she meant. And of course, this is just my opinion. I don't think she meant Jacob to be a love interest at all. And I think it was supposed to be like her and Edward like the entire time.
Right.
But because fans like really loved Jacob and things like that, she sort of like, you know, put in a little bit of fan service in there, like a possibility.
That's
but then she probably didn't realize how much people liked Jacob, and it was like a 50-50 split. So she was like, okay, I've put myself in too deep. I think I need to get rid of him. Let me have him fall in love with a baby.
That's kind of diabolical.
Fun fact, Jacob – so I don't know if you know this, but like Bella is sort of like a self-insert –
yeah,
for Stephanie Meyer,
I hear that she's like a – I don't know if this is relevant at all, but she's a Mormon.
Yeah, actually, it is relevant.
It is quite relevant.
It is very relevant.
But
her upbringing does definitely influence how the story is told.
I heard my girlfriend, she's read all the books. And
shout out Alice.
Shout out to Alice for being a fan. And she said that Bella was more supposed to represent she had some kind of disorder with her or something. Like she had
depression?
Yeah, something like that. Like it was more about that. I don't actually know what I'm saying. But,
no, you're fine. You're fine.
But I guess the author kind of lent too much in that self-insert.
Yeah. I think when it comes to writing things, and I'm sure you might disagree actually, but like there's always some part of the author within a story that you create, right?
Yeah.
And in this, I don't think she meant it to be that popular even, because she said Twilight was based off of a dream
private,
that she had.
Private fantasy.
Yeah, a little bit, you know,
yeah.
and you can't blame a girl for that.
Yeah, no,
but
true.
The thing is, the reason why I say Jacob wasn't like a love interest is because Jacob is actually the name of her brother in real life.
Oh.
That's what I mean when I say I think she accidentally brought herself into a corner.
Oh, dear.
I don't think this implies anything in real life. I'm just saying, like things happened and it just worked out that way. And she's like, I really don't want my self-insert to end up with the guy, like the character I inspired off of my brother, right?
Yeah, let's have him be in love with the baby.
Yeah.
Instead of in love with me.
Here's the thing. The whole soulmate trope, I do think, like, there's so much you could explore on that. The whole, like, unwillingness, like, how everything is rewritten for you. Like, does that mean free will is not a thing? Like, does this mean, like, you know, there's, like, so many existential questions that you can arise from soulmates and stuff like that. So I think she had the right idea, but the way she pulled it off was questionable. Because the whole thing with imprinting, which is the soulmate bond.
Oh, right, that's what it's called, imprinting.
Is that she says it's not just romantic. It's... like, it's just, you just love and care for a person no matter what, so platonic and stuff like that. This could have been the opportunity for her to write a platonic bond. Because Jacob and Renesmee aren't the only two. Well, Jacob isn't the only one who imprinted on a baby. Another member of the tribe imprinted on a baby as well. This was before Jacob. This was introduced in movie one or something like that, or book one, I'm not sure. So it's like Jacob, like, expressed his distaste to the whole imprinting thing and how it changes you as a person. And he feared that. That was his biggest fear. And then it ended up happening. And he's like, oh, you know, yada, yada, yada. This is, like, great now. Yeah. Bro, you just, like, character assassinated him. Like,
yeah, poor Jacob. I feel sorry for him. Because I think he was a good character, even though I haven't watched it a lot. But I was rooting for him a lot of the time.
So you're Team Jacob then?
Well, no, I can't say that after what he did, but like, but it just reminds me of a lot of common themes in these shows is like, claiming someone, and that's a big thing in True Blood as well, is that when a vampire says that, you know, this human is mine, everyone else is like, oh, okay, I'll back off. I'm not going to drink the blood of this human. It's like, okay, they're mine. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
It just reminded me
of that.
There's like an animalistic, predatory sense to that, right? Because it's something so distinctly not human. So it is interesting to see shows sort of play that out, that whole claiming thing. But in it also, you sort of understand. It's like a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's just like, oh, this is something new, something interesting, and kind of primal. But on the other hand, it's just like, that is weird, that is creepy, stop right now.
Yeah, because vampires are quite animalistic, so they're very, like, protective of their... And, of course, when the main character is so beautiful and everyone's going to be trying to chase after them, after their blood or whatever it is.
I have a question. So you asked me about whether I was Team Jacob or Team Edward, and I was going to ask you whether you were Team Damon or Team the other guy.
What's
his name?
Oh, my God. No, it's Stephen. It's his name.
Stephen?
Sorry. Get it right.
Okay, so who do you perform more in the love triangle with Elena? Is it Damon or is it Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one because I think Damon's a far more interesting and better character. And I personally, he's my personal favorite. He's very funny. He'd be a nightmare to date, but he's just more interesting as a character. But Stephen, he's far more gentlemanly and he's like a far better partner to Elena. And that's what I kind of didn't like about the show, is that Elena, well, for a start, Elena and Stephen are together, and then Damon slowly but surely kind of convinces Elena that they're in love, and they eventually get together.
So Damon's a homewrecker.
and it's very. It mirrors how they became vampires in the first place because there was this woman vampire called Catherine who got in the way of the two brothers. Elena's actually a doppelganger of Catherine. So she looks exactly like the woman that originally set them apart.
Right. Wait, so does that mean do they even love Elena for who she is or because she reminds them of Catherine?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stephen, I believe Stephen loved or loves Elena, whatever he still feels. But I think obviously at first her looks drew him in, like, oh my God, that's the same. She looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Whereas with Damon, I don't really know. I didn't really believe their love story. I think it was just pure lust and pure jealousy and lust. And that was kind of disappointing, really, because Stefan and Elena were really good together. And the show writers, I guess, to be fair to them, they probably didn't know how long the show was going to actually last for. So they didn't know how long to drag out that storyline.
Yeah.
But basically, Damon steals away Elena far, far too easily and far too quickly from Stefan. And it feels... you feel very sorry for Stefan because this is all within basically a few months.
Oh, my God. Isn't that, like, really fast considering they're immortals?
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be because, basically Stefan has to go away for a bit while they're still together because he's doing it all to save Elena.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. He has to be with this other really bad vampire. And be like a... Anyway, it leaves Damon and Elena alone for a long time.
Right,
and
for plot reasons, yeah.
Yeah. It was very... And it made you kind of hate Elena in a way. And a lot of people don't like Elena because she seems really annoying.
Like
and
a pick-me sort of thing?
Kind of. Mm. And she kind of just, like, expects everything to be about her,
right.
I suppose.
Yeah. To be fair, though, a lot of, like, with these shows and stuff like that, because it came out in the early 2000s, I don't expect much from female characters.
Right.
Yeah, like, they're very two-dimensional at best and just, shallow at worst, I would say.
Yeah.
Like an excuse for plot reasons, right? This is probably, like, such an overused, like, argument, but I do think, like, you know, the writing for characters does impact a lot for how we view them and portray them, right? Like, just look at how people do their women's, like, costuming,
right?
For, like, whether it's the Vampire Diaries or just anything in the
Elena's
90s.
Costuming is kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
It's I don't know, she wears, like, these really, like, tight tops and tight jeans and stuff, I'm not exactly convinced, like, a 17, 18-year-old girl would choose that fashion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you talked about Bella, you said you were Team Bella, so it sounds like you have quite a positive view on her.
I suppose in a way I do, but I know a lot of people dog on her for being bland.
Right.
But or, like, a little bit of a pick-me.
Have you read the books?
No. My sister just gifted me the books this year, actually. It's for a birthday gift.
Yeah.
I do plan to get to that at some point. But I think I like her because she's so hated. I think my girl Bella deserves a little bit more, a little bit more defense than that, because at the end of the day, she is nothing to these, like, immortal vampires that are playing around with their food. She is just a naive teenage girl who doesn't know any better. And she's hypocritical sometimes, and that's understandable because
she's flawed in, like a natural human way.
I just think because she's a female character, she's not very, excused. You know how, like, a guy could be, like, a mass murderer and people are like, that's so hot, that's so cool, right? But a girl is just annoying and she'll be hated for the entire thing, and that's all her character is.
Yeah.
So people say she's really annoying because she's really love struck and how she's so obsessed with Edward. But then I'm like, I was a teenage girl once.
I mean,
yeah,
come
fair,
on.
Right? I was a teenage girl once, and when you love someone for the first time, you are so obsessed. You literally fall head over heels.
Yeah.
You don't think about it at all. Add on to the fact that vampires have this allure specifically to lure in their food to eat them. And also, like, the world of magic. I think she really did love Edward, but it, you know, did help that there was, like, a whole world of, like, you know, fantasy magic and things like that that no one else was privy to. So, yeah, that's why I'm more in defense of her.
That's interesting.
Would you say you like Elena's character, though?
I think I liked her at the beginning. I think she was very, she kind of stood up for herself, and I believe, like, she reacted in a very typical way if some monsters were kind of, like, stalking her and stuff.
Right, right.
But I think her personality gets kind of a bit. on your nerves after a while.
I understand.
And especially, it doesn't help because she gets turned into a vampire as well. So everything, and when in the vampire world, in the Vampire Diaries world, when you get turned into a vampire, all your traits as a human are heightened. So basically, she gets even more annoying.
right.
But
hey, at least she stayed in character.
Yeah, I don't think I hate her as much as other fans do, but I do see what they mean. Like she kind of expects all the attention to be on her, and she doesn't really. But it's kind of confusing because part of her character is that she's very compassionate and selfless, and she, like, you know, a lot of episodes she will want to basically put her own life in danger to save her brother and all her friends and everything. But then again, that's kind of seen as selfish as well, because, like, she's putting herself in harm's way, or like she's okay with her dying, and mm-hmm. so everyone else is like, well, that's selfish because then we have to deal with the aftermath of not having you around, and that's why she's selfish
as
well.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah, because she is in a sense the center of the world, or in this fictional sense,
she is. So I guess she has like some flaws as a character, but they're not the kind of interesting flaws.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
No,
does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like sometimes you understand why a flaw is there, but that still doesn't make them more lovable. You know, like you can understand it in a sense, but it's not something that you can.
She's also a giant hypocrite because the way the character, like, she basically throughout the first two seasons of the show, she's like, I'm never going to be with you, Damon. I'm always going to love Stefan.
Okay.
And she's so adamant about that. And well, what does she do? She, you know, falls into bed with the big bad,
God,
dark-haired older brother.
Yeah. I suppose it's like also like a character assassination thing as well, because like you say, the showrunners themselves didn't think the show would last so long.
Yeah.
So
that's the other thing.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many more topics that we could discuss, like not only like Elena's character, more into Damon's character and Stefan, other characters and things. And I even wanted to do like if Edward and Damon were to go head on head, like who would win, and we would go like the statistics of it and like the lore.
We could go
for hours, but unfortunately we've run out of time today.
We've run out of time.
Yeah,
oh, damn.
I'm so sorry.
We got to discuss the fight thing because I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
To talk about
100%. We've got time for like a part two for sure.
Lovely.
Next time. Yeah. Would you be keen on coming on next time, Robert? I'm sure everyone else would.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I need someone to, like, I have to chain people down to listen to me when I talk about Twilight. So this is so refreshing talk back and forth with somebody.
And I can just like, apart, because I've mostly talked to my brother about this, so it's good to have someone else to.
Awesome. Right. Do you have anything, any shout outs that you'd like to give to people?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to my girlfriend, Alice, and for being a vampire fan as well. And just thank you for listening to everyone who listens to what I have to say.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Robert, for coming onto the show. Guys, please boycott McDonald's, Starbucks, and Coca-Cola. Free Palestine.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.